So I was thinking, getting ready for my sermon here today. I know, Pastor Steve thinking, I got that. I could see the smirk on somebody's face. So what if Jesus decided to visit us some Sunday morning? You'd have him sit there? Well, that was going to be my next question. If he walked in the door, first of all, would we recognize him? Because I have a feeling he wouldn't look like the pictures we have of him. First of all, most of the pictures we have of him in our homes or when we were little were the American version, the European version. And he was Mideastern. So I think he'd look a little different. And you know, we always see him in this robe. Well, that was the dress of the day. It wasn't like he was wearing a clergy robe to announce, you know, here I am, Jesus the Messiah. So would he come in dressed in jeans and, well, I like those shoes, bud, and boots today and a button-down shirt? So if he came in like that, would we recognize him? And what if he came in and, like B said, sat down in your row? So this visitor right here next Sunday, what if this was Jesus? How would we know it was him? Maybe by something he said, maybe by something that he did. So would he do some of the things that we already see happen? Would he do what Pastor Kurt did and come up and during worship encourage us to step out in freedom and liberty? Maybe. He might, right? Well, some of the reasons I think that we sometimes don't recognize Jesus and what he wants to do is because it's not what we were expecting. We were expecting something a little different, and it's not that. And so we're like, is that Jesus? Could that be him? So that's what we're going to look at today in our Christmas message as we approach Christmas. So in Isaiah 9, it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given. What a gift. What an incredibly wonderful gift that God gave us. A son will be given to us. The government, the ruling power, the kingdom will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called. I think we have it there, don't we? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Does that seem to remind you of like a ruler, a prince? So, if he's that, how would you expect him to show up? If he's a prince, if he's a wonderful counselor, if he's Mighty God, Everlasting Father, how would you expect him to arrive on the scene? That verse continues, there will be no end to the increase of his kingdom rule. The passion of the Lord will accomplish this. Now, we, of course, already know the Christmas story. We saw it again today. So this Prince of Peace didn't quite arrive as we would expect the prince to arrive, did he? And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough. What? What? Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and he's in a feeding trough? In some part of the barn or the inn, and some people think it might have actually been in a cave that was an extension of the barn, and they put Jesus in a feeding trough? God doesn't always do things the way we expect. And so we don't always recognize him, do we? Did everybody back then recognize that little baby? If we are desiring his ways, and if we're desiring to hear from him, he'll speak to us. The shepherds got a message, didn't they? Let's listen to this. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger," which is a feeding trough for animals. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, 'Let's go straightway to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the feeding trough. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at this message." So I want us to look at those verses today and consider this story a little bit and how it might apply to us today. What were the shepherds doing? Were they doing anything extraordinary? The shepherds were just out doing their everyday jobs, their everyday assignment. But God knew that they wanted to hear and to know when his son was arriving. And he met them. Are we expecting God to speak to us when we're doing our everyday duties? How about when we're driving to work? Now, if that Gabe showed up in my car, I don't know if I'd be more afraid or less afraid than this Gabe. But are we looking and expecting? And what might it look like if Jesus had a message for us? How might that show up in our lives? But what you can be assured of is that when God's presence shows up, things start to happen and we're changed. Were these shepherds ever the same after this? Absolutely not. It says that God's message was good news. So that makes me stop and ask the question. When we share the gospel of Jesus with other people, do we share it like it's good news? Or do we share it like, "Okay, you're dangled over the fire, and I'm just about ready to drop you in"? Or do we say, "God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son"? Yes, we do need somewhere in there to include, if you don't make this decision, if you don't respond to God's love, there are consequences. But don't you first want to make it good news? And it said that this was good news that was intended to cause great joy. Great joy. So see, that should be the response that people have when we say to them, "Do you know God loves you so much that he has a plan for your life? And he knows that you could not get to him, so he did something extraordinary to get to you. He sent his son down to earth to live here." Like, who would want to leave there to come here, right? Because you've probably heard some stories who people have passed and they've been brought back, you know, either shocked back or prayed back, and they're like, "Why did you do that?" You know, "You maybe weren't fine without me here, but I really was okay up there." So, you know, Jesus left there and came down to obey his Father. And he came down to just have a wonderful life. Really? Yeah. People betrayed him. Whipped. Nailed. Nailed to a cross. Because God made a way for us to have relationship with him, knowing that we couldn't get there on our own. So this Christmas season, when you think about what God did for you and that baby actually grew up, okay, died, rose, now is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven praying for us. You think he did some things for us, Jack? You think he loves us? We sang about it this morning. When we know that he loves us like that, we should have a couple responses. One of them is, I love you back. Right? It shouldn't be difficult to love God because he loved us first. Now, there are some people that it takes a little work. Okay? Because maybe they don't love you at all. Or maybe they love you a little, or they tolerate you and you try to love them. But God loves us in such an incredible, extraordinary way. But then it says that's to cause great joy. So going into this Christmas season, you know, I know we all have regrets and we all have some loss, and maybe somebody's not at the table this year that was there previous years. But the fact that God so loved us that he sent his son should cause a little joy to well up inside. The Bible says great joy. So I'm just hoping for all of us that that happens this Christmas season. You know, that we are thankful for what we do have and what God did do for us. Isn't it interesting that these angels knew exactly the humble beginning that this Prince of Peace was having? They said exactly what we just read had happened, right? We already read. Mary was there. She had a baby. She wrapped him in cloth. She laid him in a feeding trough. And the angel says, go to Bethlehem, find the baby, wrapped in cloths, lying in the feeding trough. That was a pretty clear message, wasn't it? The other interesting thing that happened is whenever we welcome God's messengers and God's message, his presence and glory increases. See, they could have said, no, we don't want to hear your message. Leave us alone. We're busy. We're doing our job. We're not sure you're going to give us good news. So, yeah, go find another group of shepherds. But they received the message and the messenger, and it says, all of a sudden, I like all of a sudden, because it was all of a sudden then, but it wasn't all of a sudden for the shepherds. They may have been out there years taking care of these sheep, just waiting to hear from God, and then all of a sudden. So we need to have some expectations of all of a sudden, that what we are believing God for, what we're listening for, what we want to see will happen. But it says there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts. That'd be fun to know what that was. Was that 100? Was that 1,000? Was that thousands? But because they welcomed the messenger and the message, God's presence and glory increased, and all of a sudden there was a multitude of angels. And they sang out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased. With whom he is pleased. So what are some ways that we can respond to a message from God? Couple things we can do. We can ignore it. Okay? They could have ignored it. It was like, okay, well, that's nice, but we don't really feel like traveling to Jerusalem today. Okay? We're busy. We have things to do. We could pretend we didn't hear it. No, I don't think that was God. We could. Maybe we don't like the messenger, so we discount the message or decide to ignore the message because we don't like the messenger. So guys, I'm going to talk to all of you and we're going to pretend your wives aren't sitting right next to you. Sometimes God speaks to you through them and you would have rather it had been somebody else. And so you ignore it. But then when you come to church on Sunday and one of your buddies walks up to you and says the same exact thing, it's like, yes, that was God. Now, I know that doesn't ever happen to anybody here in this house. I'm sure it doesn't, but you might know somebody. that happens too. And you can say, you know, sometimes God speaks to us through our spouses. Just saying. Or maybe you don't like how the message came. Okay? You would have liked it have been just you and God. See, that's me most of the time. God, if you have something you want to say to me, I have devotions every day. Couple days a week, I have an hour drive to work, an hour and a half drive home, thanks to Harrisburg traffic. You have plenty of time that you can talk to me. Yeah. Almost every seminar, conference, class I go to, somebody comes up to me and says, I don't know you and you don't know me, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you. Okay. I think he's trying to help me to learn something there, right? What else could we do with a message from God? We can consider it. Okay, we can think about it, consider it, say, God, is that really you? And if that is you, what am I supposed to do with that message? Okay? That's one of the things we can do. We can say, you know, I really think that was for the person behind me. I think Pastor Steve missed a row. He spoke to somebody here, and it was really for somebody back there. So he was pretty close, but it wasn't really me. It doesn't apply to me. Or you know what? I think that person sitting down there needs it more than me. None of you do that either, I know. It just doesn't happen here, but I just want you to be ready for it. Or we can enthusiastically go after it. Enthusiastically go after it. What did the shepherds do? As soon as the angels left, they said, let's go straight. Now, how often do we say, let's go straight? We don't even mean the same thing when we say that. But that meant, without stopping to do anything else, let's immediately go and see this thing. How excited would God be when he spoke to us if we actually did that? Okay, I'll stop what I'm doing, and I'll go and do what you asked me to do. Isn't it great when our kids do that? I won't tell too much details because I don't want to embarrass mom and dad, but we had three kids all day yesterday and overnight, and there were times when Pap said things and they did it. I'm like, yes, because most of the time when Pap said it, it was, I don't think that's Pap. I'm pretty sure it wasn't him. I didn't actually hear that. Some of those other choices of what we can do with messages, I saw a lot of them this weekend. He's talking to Lucas. He's not talking to me. Okay. I was pretty sure I used your name, and the third time I said it, I even included the middle name. Okay. So let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord had made known, and they moseyed to get there. No, they came in a hurry. Wow. I think they responded to God's message the way that he would have hoped that we respond to his message. So when we have good news, shouldn't we tell people that good news? Now let's just pause a minute. I'm not trying to make anybody feel condemned, maybe a little guilty, but not condemned. Which of us have good news that we could tell other people? Anybody that knows John 3:16 has good news to tell other people. And it says that all who heard this good news wondered at these things told them by the shepherds. See, I'd love that would be what people would say about us. You know, Frank told me about Jesus, and I'm going to consider that. I'm going to think about this Jesus who died on the cross for me. Because all I ever remember is Jesus, baby Jesus. So he actually had a reason that he came. Yeah, he did. And it applies to me 2,000 years after? Yeah, it does. And it's good news. Good news. So they didn't keep the good news told to them. They shared it with other people. All right, changing gears just a little bit. We're still in the Christmas story, but we're done with the shepherds for now. What do prophets do? Prophets. We just read at the very beginning Isaiah 9. Okay, that. Do you know that was over 600 years before Jesus was born? God let a man named Isaiah know what he was going to do. I'd be happy if he'd let me know what he's doing tomorrow, let alone over 600 years in the future. So a prophet is somebody who hears a message from God about what he's going to do. And then he says that. He speaks that out. So Mary and Joseph brought little Jesus to Jerusalem to dedicate him. Okay, do you remember that story? This isn't always part of the message. This wasn't on the Charlie Brown Christmas. So this might not be something you think about all the time. But they brought him into the temple, and there were two prophets there. Okay, remember we just talked about what a prophet was. And there was in Jerusalem a man whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. He was looking for the saving of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah. So now he's old. But all these years he served in the temple. And he held on to that promise. God, you said I was going to see the Messiah. I'm getting older and older, and I'm still waiting, and I'm still waiting. And he came in the Spirit to the temple. Do you realize that meant he came ready for church? He didn't have to wait for the fifth worship song and then finally say, boy, now I'm ready to meet with God. It says he came already in the Spirit. And when Mary and Joseph came in with Jesus to carry out the custom of the law, he immediately recognized it. Remember how we started? Would we recognize Jesus? He recognized the baby. Now, how do you do that? I mean, other than getting close and seeing them, don't most babies act like other babies? Feed, sleep, and hold. That's their life. And poop. Yeah, when you see the pile of diapers, I just pictured that. Yeah, I didn't want to forget that part. So, it says, he took him into his arms and blessed God. He recognized Jesus even as a baby. And this is what he prayed. Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. In other words, okay, you fulfilled your promise, now I can die. Because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. His mother and his father were amazed at these things that were being said about Jesus. And Simeon said, behold, this child is appointed for the rise and fall of men. Okay? So, they go a little further into the temple, and there was a prophetess. Her name was Anna. She was advanced in years. Let's see, it says she was 91. She was married 7 years and has been a widow for 84 years. That's a long time. She never left the temple, serving there day and night with fasting and prayer. That's dedication. I mean, I don't know if any of you want to move into the church, but I think we'd have to think about that. And live here day and night for all those years, praying and fasting. At that moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God. She recognized that that was the gift, the Messiah that God had sent. She continued to speak of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Then they returned to their city of Nazareth. Isn't that interesting? Those two prophets recognized Jesus. And it said she told everyone, hey, I saw a baby. I know it looked like a baby, But that baby is the Messiah. I knew in my heart that that was the Messiah. Well, there were others who didn't recognize Jesus. Okay, we read two that did, and the shepherds, but there were some that didn't. Jesus's mother and brothers came to him one day. He was speaking to a crowd. Do you remember that? Right before that, it said, well, I better read it, because I don't know that you'd believe it if I said it and didn't read it. His close family, this is his family, heard about this, heard about what Jesus was doing and saying, and they tried to take him captive, for they thought he had lost his mind. How about that verse? So he's going around saying that he can heal people and that he's the Messiah, and his family went, uh-oh, something wrong with that boy. We don't know if we dropped him too many times when he was little, or, you know, if he ate some bad figs, or what, but before he causes any more trouble, we're going to go kidnap him and bring him back home and straighten him up. That's what they were saying. So he is with this whole crowd of people, and he's sharing the good news, and somebody in the crowd yells, hey, your mom and brother are outside. Well, most theologians think this was them coming to say, hey, we're your brothers and we're taking you home. And so Jesus said, who are my brothers and who's my mother? He says, everybody that obeys me, hears my words and obeys me. Now, I don't think that didn't mean he didn't actually go out then and talk to mom and brothers. But, you know, if Jesus didn't want to be taken captive, he wasn't going to be taken captive. They tried that one other time when he said who he was, and they tried to take him captive. And it says he just slipped right through their midst. So shortly after this, he must have got his mother and brother straightened out, because it says he went home, and he went to his home church. And he goes into his home church and he announces what he intends to do. And they all went, yay, we know this famous guy. Is that what they did? No. Really? They said in modern English, who does he think he is? Like, where did he get that idea? We watched him grow up. They didn't honor him. And it says, because of that, he could only do a few healings. And then he said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown. So they didn't recognize Jesus. We want to make sure we do recognize Jesus and what he's doing. We want to be able to say, you know, that looks like what Jesus would do. And that's what we want to join in and do. One more, John the Baptist. He thought Jesus might be the Messiah, but he wanted to be sure. You know, it's okay to be sure. It's okay just to check. So he sent some of his followers to Jesus, and he said, would you ask Jesus? I think you're the Messiah. Are you the Messiah? And here's Jesus' reply. Tell John this. The blind now see, the lame now walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf now hear, the dead are raised to life, and the poor and the needy have good news proclaimed to them. See, now we have a list of what Jesus looks like. Jesus said, when you see these things happening, that's me. So when we see people getting healed, when we see the poor and needy have good news proclaimed to them, we know that's what Jesus is about doing. So he wanted to give John the proof that he was who he said he was. The Jews had an expectation. When Jesus comes, he's going to free us from Rome. Jesus came to free them, but it wasn't from Rome. He came to set us free from slavery to sin. The Bible says that whatever controls you is sin, and whatever is not of faith is sin. Jesus came to set us free from slavery and sin. Jesus showed us and explained some things to us so that we would know who He is. So what are some of those things? Well, the one I mentioned just quickly earlier, he quoted Isaiah 61 in church. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, to proclaim liberty, to bring sight to the blind, and to free the downhearted." He said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And he said, the Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's interesting, isn't it? So all of these ways Jesus spoke so that we would recognize Him. So we would know what it looks like when He's here. Because He comes even though we don't see Him in the flesh. How do I know that? Because He said, when two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst. So He's here because more than one of us came expecting Jesus to show up. We came because we wanted to spend time with Jesus. And He said, whenever you want to spend time with Me, I'll show up. So then the question is then, how do we recognize what He's doing among us? Well, today we prayed for people that had a particular physical thing that they were struggling with. We believed Him to set people free today. So I think what He wanted us to do in this service is to pray and say, Jesus, let me see You more clearly. And maybe admit that we might not recognize Him when He showed up. But we want to recognize Him when He shows up. And when He's speaking, we do want to hear Him, don't we? And not like just a fuzzy white noise in the background, but we want to hear Him clearly. I think that would be a great goal to start 2018 with, that we see Him more clearly and hear Him more clearly. So let's stand, and I want us to I want to lead all of us in that prayer. Because I think He wants us to recognize Him. I think He wants us to know His voice better. So let's just pray. Jesus, I thank You for that good news that You brought, that good news of great joy. And I thank You that we carry with us that same good news. We carry with us the message that will cause joy, great joy even, You said, to all people. Even people that we may not think deserve to hear it or that they would welcome hearing it. And some of those are just the ones who need it the most. So this Christmas season, as we're out and about, give us opportunities to tell other people that You so love them, that You sent Jesus. And Jesus, going into 2018, we want to recognize You quicker. We want to see You more clearly. We want to be able to respond to Your messages that You send to us. We want to say, yes, Lord, I will go directly, immediately, enthusiastically even, after Your message, after what You're telling us to do, what You're telling me as an individual to do, what You're telling us as a church to do. So Jesus, open our eyes so that we can see You more clearly. and open our ears to hear you more clearly. Recognize your voice when it's you speaking to us, even if it's through another person. Let us say, yeah, I think that's Jesus. So open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. And again, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for being willing to leave your heavenly home, for being willing to come down here, for being willing to be born in that humble situation, not to wealth, not to privilege, to grow up among us and to be the light and the Savior to the world. Being willing to die on the cross for me, that my sins might be forgiven. And when you defeated death and you rose from the dead, you brought to each of us eternal life. So Jesus, we just pause today as we're closing. And we just want to ask you again, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wash us white as snow. And Jesus, we want to follow after you. We want to be Jesus followers. Jesus followers. And we thank you that that includes having our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Having eternal life that starts now. And continues on forever with you, Jesus, because of what you accomplished and being willing to come. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And because you first loved us, we do love you. So we said it in the song, but we want to say it again as we leave. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Amen. Have a great week, folks. And remember to look for him even in the busyness.